Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we intentionally stop to hear the word of the Lord. As we hear the text appointed for this day, may they come into our life. May the Spirit open our ears to hear your word and grow in faith and walk in your word this day and every day. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring wholeness to all that is broken and speak truth to us in our confusion, that all creation will see and know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The second reading appointed for this day is from 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Paul writes, "Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge. But anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there are many so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom we are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge, since some have become so accustomed to idols until now. They still think of the food they eat as offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you who possess knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, whose weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their failing, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As you hear this text, you may be thinking, what? Food sacrificed to idols? This part of scripture we may think we don't have to do much about. It's about something that relates to people long time ago and really doesn't speak to us today. If you think that, I think actually you are wrong. I think this text really says something significant and profound to us and has a word that we need to hear even in this day and age. It's not about food, but it's about how we respond to situations. See, we can get caught up in the literal language, right? Most of us are not concerned about food that's sacrificed to idols. In Paul's writing, there were people that this was a big concern. As Paul went through and other Christians proclaimed the word of the Lord, and people came to faith in Jesus and converted from believing in other gods to believing in the one Lord, the Father Almighty, and one Lord Jesus Christ, they left behind another life. And so there were rules, you know, within the Jewish tradition that you didn't eat food that was sacrificed to other gods. And so some people were trying to live this out, but they were caught because they would be invited to others, and you never knew if was it sacrificed or not, or buying in the marketplace, how that would work. Paul says, it really doesn't matter. But in some ways it does. It does because of this. It does because of how others may perceive the way we go about. The key, I think, is this. Paul says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Because how do we respond? We know knowledge, it doesn't matter. But yet, when we do something, how does it impact other people? As I was contemplating this text, I thought about a story that happened a long time ago. I was a pastor in Ohio, and there was a group of us, all pastors from different denominations, that were going to a conference about something. And we were there, and we broke for lunch, and we were all on our own for lunch. And so we all says, let's go out somewhere, and we were in Columbus, Ohio, trying to decide where to go. I knew that area a little bit and said, oh, here are some options, blah, 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 blah. This is pre-cell phone days when you could look and just Google what's nearby. But said, oh, here's some options. And I said, well, there's an Applebee's, thinking there's a little bit of everything. People could get something. And so people go, yeah, and we were heading that way. And then it dawned on me, we had a couple of pastors from a more of a holiness tradition. And it didn't even dawn on me that with Applebee's, there's a bar included. And so when we got there and we stopped, I stopped and I said, oh, I never thought about this. Is this okay? Because I know from other people in my life, there are some people who don't eat at any restaurants that serve alcohol. And they were like, no, thanks for asking, but it's okay. And we had a nice lunch. And I thought about that because in some ways that's applicable to what Paul's talking about, right? For me, it's no big deal. Going to a restaurant with a bar, not a big deal. But for others, that temptation can be too much. They don't want to go in a place that serves alcohol for a variety of reasons. And so part of it is, it's as what Paul says earlier in this letter. He says, all things are allowable, right? I can do all things are permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And so part of it, he's saying, you know, take it out of the issue of food sacrificed to idols. Part of what he's saying is, as we go, we make decisions, do we think about how it may impact others around us? And this is a radical shift in our thinking. Because I think for many of us, and particularly in America, right? I have my rights, right? I can do what I want. And while that's true, do we ever stop and think about how it may impact others? I think about sometimes some people will fly some flags that have a four-letter word on it. And do they have the right to fly that flag? Yes, they do, right? In our country, we have the freedom of speech. They have the right to fly that flag. But I wonder, should we stop and maybe ask the question, okay, I have that right, but should I? What does that message send to other people? Will young people be, you know, should young people not necessarily see that word so prominent in society? Right? That's what Paul is getting at. He's saying, as we live our life, just because we have rights and privilege, just because we have that knowledge, doesn't necessarily mean we should do whatever we want. Because that right, that knowledge puffs up. But what builds up other people is love. And how do we stop to think about what we're doing to say, wait a minute, is this going to cause somebody else to stumble? And maybe I don't do it, even though I can, or maybe want to, because how it may be perceived by other people and cause others to stumble. I think about a friend that I knew from my home congregation. He was the dean of students at Capital University, and on his desk he had a little plaque, and the plaque just simply said, "Joy." And one day we were talking about this plaque, and he said, "I keep it there to remind me," and also sometimes people will ask him about it, "and why do you have this plaque that just simply says joy?" And he said that for him reminded him of his priorities. They're like, "Really?" He goes, "Yes, joy, these are my priorities. Jesus, others, yourself." That when he thought about things, he thought first about his relationship with Jesus and kept Jesus first. And then he thought about others, how it would impact other people. How does this, you know, be able to love his neighbor, right? How does it impact others around him? And then lastly, about himself. And he says, when you get those priorities right in life, it simply produces joy. And I think that's what Paul is saying here. He's using an issue that may not relate to us specifically in our world. But we can take that in anything. When we're around other people, whether that's restaurants to go to, whether that's flags to fly, whether that's all kinds of things. How does it impact others? Because knowledge puffs up, and just because we can doesn't mean we should. But how does our love for neighbor build up others so that in our faith, as we walk this life of faith, we don't cause others to stumble, but we lift them up in love? Because in some ways, all of this is building to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, when he lifts up that ethic of love as the most important, right? Faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love, right? And so how do we live that out? Do we think about ourselves first, or do we think about Jesus and then others and then ourselves? Whatever that might be, Paul challenges us in our daily walk to not necessarily focus on me and my rights, but how does it relate to my neighbor? And that drastically changes how we may think about all kinds of things in our world. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Lord, you are the creator of all things, and you call everything good, but at times not everything is beneficial. Help us to discern what we should do in all circumstances. Guide us and grant us discernment, that we may rely not upon just knowledge, but upon love and concern for others. May love guide, direct, and lead us in all decisions, so that we may not inadvertently cause someone to stumble in their faith. Help us to always live by the concept that love builds up and not everything is about ourselves. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.